Okay, so our speaker tonight is Rahel, who will now share her experience, strength, and hope for 20 minutes. Would you like a 5-minute warning when your time is almost up? Okay, yeah. Great. Okay, go ahead. It's all yours.
Get back in there. Hi, my name is Rahel. I'm an alcoholic. I've actually never been to an all addictions meeting. I realized that maybe I'm not fully prepared, but I think I understand what that means. and I did indeed. So I got sober on November 1st. My sobriety date is November 1st, 2016. So thank God it's just over 7 years. I've been through the steps a few times. The first time was with a sponsor who took me through a BBA, and the next couple times differently. And now I would say that the way I work with sponsees involves like both, I suppose. It's not purely BBA, but I am really grateful for everything along the way. And, you know, even though, so I think with alcohol, I'm absolutely powerless. My life's unmanageable. But in so many other areas of life as well, I don't know that I've fully, you know, admitted that defeat in that same way, but there is no question in my mind, and I see it again and again, the way God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself in all of those areas. And I think like that's probably what I would say is the topic. And, you know, I wanted to talk about a paragraph from page 100 of the big book. So it's not, I would say, frequently cited, but I really like it. And my sponsor takes me back to it all the time. So so I'm just going to read it and then share. So it's like the second paragraph, the first full paragraph. And it says, both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. And I just love that. And I think, you know, it involves in it a few of the steps, and I kind of want to go through it. Bit by bit. Like, first of all, this, you know, this idea of sponsorship and the idea of walking through, you know, these steps with the new person, I can say for me, like one of the ways in which my life has changed radically, of course, is that involvement first of a sponsor, but also now of being a sponsor, because, which I'll also say that I don't like it. I don't like it. I find it really difficult to say what I mean, and to, you know, to worry about how it comes across and to worry that it's not the right thing and to be in fear. You know, I also find it really difficult at the same time to know that I don't have control, you know, and that to see something that I actually do see clearly because it's somebody else. And so it's easier. So I see it clearly and I can't necessarily change that thing, you know, but it does definitely do wonders for me because I can't see things in myself sometimes that I can see really clearly in a sponsee, you know, like I've said many times, like, or I've said something and said like, are you listening to this? You know? So I think first of all, like this idea of walking like together is like the essence, you know, of this program. It's definitely that pillar. I mean, it's like both unity and service. And it's, you know, really one of the big, I would say, changes in my life is to having to be responsible to someone else also. And the idea of spiritual walking in this path of spiritual progress. So I realized, so the other thing that kind of ties in is that I am meeting my sponsee tomorrow and she's on her sixth step and I was, you know, wondering which way to go. And so I pulled it out again in the 12 and 12 and I read it right as I was feeling like also nervous about this and like, what's my top, you know, and I realized the amazing connection between those, like between this, which always speaks to me, and this idea of the sixth, It's that being about spiritual progress, and that I get to have the spiritual progress as long as I am willing to let God do for me what I can't do for myself. And so I think one of the really big ways in which this program works is that, like, the reason that this happens, that I can, you know, that when I put myself in God's hands, then what comes out is better than I would have planned. It's about that attitude of being willing to have him do with me, you know, and like mold me. And I say him loosely. I don't have an exact, I just can feel it. I know it's not me. I know there's this power in my life. Or I know, you know, like another, as I said, it's, you know, alcohol is really my, I guess my real defeat, you know, my ticket into this way of life. But the way of life involves, you know, when I see myself, like when I say to my sponsor, I really like, I'm doing too much shopping online. And then I start to rationalize it by saying, I'm not actually buying things. I'm just like spending all my time on it, which is still very harmful, you know, but this amazing like rationalization of it. Anyway, so I said, you know, I'm just going to ask God to, and I was really thinking it through and I thought, like, I obviously do have to buy things in life at some point. So I'm just going to ask God to remove this from me until further notice. And like, when I'm ready to handle it, I'll let him know. And she like laughed and laughed and laughed, because it's like, that's exactly what surrender isn't. Like, it's exactly what willingness isn't, and exactly like lacking in an ability to trust, you know, by saying like, I'm just going to, like, I'll hand it over for now. Or I have this idea of what handing it over looks like. It looks like not shopping right now, you know, like, but it's, that's not what it looks like. It looks like, you know, I need help. I'm coming to it in a very open-minded way, you know? So I wanted to, so basically these amazing, like persisting in this path of spiritual progress to me is persisting in, like, insisting on the new attitude, where the attitude is like, I am here as long as I am here to perform God's work well. And if I, as long as I am engaged in that, he will take care of me, you know? And so that means, it just means like, constantly having to practice basically all the steps. That's why it's hard for me to say like exactly the topic, but it's about holding that attitude of, I have to practice all of it. Like, I need to sponsor, you know, if somebody asks me to, obviously, but I need to be like available to sponsor and put myself out there for that. And I have to be a bit like willing to have God do whatever he will with all of the defects of character. And I had a really, like, my life has really changed in the last year, especially, but year and a half. And the really big change was when I started to do like, first of all, I started to absolutely commit to my time in the morning, that I make the space to allow God in without knowing what's going to happen, but I have to make the space for it. Like, I have to wake up early enough in order to have that opening. And then when I open, and then, you know, to read, just to read, you know, something, different things, like to kind of start to fill it. And I had this idea of doing a meditation that would be based on affirmations, like, well, like a loving kindness thing, but like, you know, may I be happy, may I live it, just focused on like things in a very general way. And I like had to, I was kind of, I don't know, again, in that hour in the morning, I looked for something like inspirational about like, you know, and I tried to put these things really openly. So I asked, you know, to be open to love, and I asked to find love, and I chose to like say it in those ways so that I wouldn't be dictating exactly what I wanted it to look like. And then it came true in like different ways, you know, the openness, like I found, first of all, I started to feel like I have this sort of appreciation, like, for myself that I never had before. And I wasn't, that's not what I was asking for, but it came. And that, I was really like, I thought I had to be like open to, I don't know who this person, be really like open to, but really it ended up being, you know, like me, the inner part of me that wanted to connect with God, that was the love that happened, you know, and then starting to feel like he had really already solved all the problems that I had in my life, like just being really confident in that it had already been solved. And these things happen through meditation. And most recently, the last one, which had to do with like a different area, not alcohol, but I, you know, I've been asking to, something else, keep it general, but like it also got solved in his way, you know? So so I think like for me, that's the epitome of putting myself in God's hand, is to do what I can to be of service, to do what I can to, you know, be part of a fellowship, and to continue to practice all these principles, like continue to inventory, continue to, even if I don't believe it always, because it's really hard to believe it in the moment, that if there's like, if I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me, you know, like to just persistently do this. And one of the ways to persistently do it also is to continue to come to meetings, because this is where we speak the same language. And so this is where we can remember these principles that are really like the lifeline, because outside I won't always get it. It's in these rooms that I'll get it, the right attitude. I was going to say something else about that. So another just kind of an example in my life, I'm just trying to not be too vague. Maybe I should have also told more of my story, but it's okay. So basically, I've always been really, there are things I say about myself, which is that I don't like to be in charge of things, and I'm not very organized, and I'm not good at being in charge of things, you know? And then I don't know why, but I had the feeling, you know, when we rotated positions, I had this feeling like, should I offer to be secretary? You know, because like previously I had been asked, and I always kind of pushed it away because I was like, I'm not good at that. And I felt like I should offer it. And so I did. And so then I became my group's secretary for last year. It's just ending now at the end of December. And it's been amazing because, as I said, my life has changed so dramatically in the last year and a half, and especially in the last year. And in this time when I was sort of like having to be responsible for, I don't even want to say in charge, it's not really in charge, but be responsible for the group conscience and the group's decisions and all the meetings that happen every day. And, you know, taking on that role, which I really, when I first got sober, I would have never agreed to, I just wouldn't have done it, you know, but I felt like moved to do that service the same way I moved to sponsor, which makes me uncomfortable and I end up only benefiting and hopefully them too. So then I took on that role, and it's been, you know, I've learned a lot. And during that time, I also ended up getting a new role in the organization I work for, which is also like a program planning role, you know, much more like planning and responsibility than what I had before. And somehow I don't know how that happened. And it does feel like something I didn't necessarily wish for. Like I had an opportunity to grow in a direction that I didn't know to ask for. Like I couldn't have specifically, and I had been really stuck at work. It was one of the areas that I felt really stuck. And I could not have planned the way it would play out, you know, but what happened was I felt like I was in that organization for the right reasons. And then I outgrew some, I guess, defects or had God remove them or whatever, and then became able to take on this new role that has really given like new kind of life to my work life. So now, like, you know, so a year later, I have like a very good relationship, having come into AA with a very dysfunctional one that took me a while to get out of. So I have that, and, you know, the change in the job and everything. And, you know, now today, of course, I'm worried about losing it. Like I'm just living in fear that like something, you know, when's the other shoe going to drop? And then I come back to, I don't really live in fear. I have some fear. So I continue to go to meetings, and I continue to work with sponsees and to call my sponsor and to do inventory and to look at this, you know, to know that this is the other thing, that the last thing, it's very scary because, of course, you don't always stay in the highest place, you know, like, and what this promises me is that when I follow the dictates of a higher power, I will presently, right now, right away, live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what my present circumstances, you know? So right now it's like a little bit easier because my present circumstances are good, but it's, you know, I feel like I'm hopefully growing all the time in effectiveness and understanding and faith, so that, you know, so that I can weather whatever the circumstances. And I honestly really think that might be all I have to say, but I guess I'm not quite at enough time because it's not even, because I haven't gotten the 5 minutes, but.
Five more minutes. Stop whenever you're done. It's fine.
I think, let me think. Yeah, I think I guess I'll say, well, kind of alongside, I look for one more thing, which is that the other, like the biggest thing that has been, one of the biggest things that's been removed from me, but not totally, is this, as I said, I didn't like to be in charge of things or to organize things. I've also always taken, been so fearful of making any decisions that I take every single decision by group conscience. But it's not even real. It's like, I talk to so many people, you know, when I was in that bad relationship that I had when I came in, it was very alcoholic and it was very, and it was really bad. And then as part of like through the, you know, the first year and a half getting sober was basically focused on that. And today, as I said earlier, when I see things in other people, sometimes it's seeing that, it's people seeing people in a relationship that they're rationalizing, where it's not even about like, oh, poor me, look at what this person's doing. It's about looking at myself and how I am also, and just knowing this isn't right. But when that's brought to me, I kind of start to make excuses for it, you know? And so it's really hard to see that now from the outside. But anyway, about that, I had talked at the time before getting sober and after getting sober, at some point I sort of stopped and said, I feel like I talk about this all the time. I wonder, and I just kind of started to like run through like which opinions I had gotten and who I had consulted in my life, from like doctors to therapists to parents to cousins to friends to work colleagues, which is really embarrassing to talk about like such unmanageability at work. And I kind of reached a number that was like over 60, 60. And I was just astounded by the fact that I was in this, you know, situation that I had consulted like the whole world about, and it hadn't helped, you know, and I felt like it was such a bottom, and not even the final one actually, but because it happened a few more times, like that kind of thing, but not as bad. That was the worst one. It just wasn't when it ended, you know, sometimes like the worst, it doesn't mean it ends right there at the worst, but like, you know, that was like, it was so low. It helped to get me sober, I think, that level of unmanageability, and turning, having to turn it over. And so, but that issue continued to follow me, you know, and to like, it really did. And it happened several more painful times, where I, and the answer really has been, not that it's a final, you know, the, or the growth, the progress is to be like more comfortable with sitting quietly and trusting God, sitting quietly and waiting for intuition, maybe asking, like having an intuition about the person that would be right to consult, the maybe two people, you know, but not like canvassing everyone. And, you know, getting that, having that start to happen ended up causing other frictions in my life, because people that were really used to me wanting advice and giving advice and me rebuffing it were very surprised, you know, and those relationships changed too. And so it had this like, so basically, again, when I keep coming back to this, because I really feel like there's a lot in there, but, you know, things that having like a life that's better than what I could have planned, like I didn't, which again, I'm connecting to this idea elsewhere about how we didn't, what is it? I don't know. But anyway, how I don't necessarily know how to ask or how to imagine that thing that's better than what I could have planned. So, you know, just having like a little, having really living with much more ease, because being like, almost like freed of this like burden of worry of what other people would do or what other people would think, or that I personally can't, I don't know, I can't do it on my own. And I'm saying this also to hear it, because I was in the midst today of like an indecision about something. And when I get this way, when I start to be afraid that I'm doing the wrong thing, it's like I get really gripped by panic and I really almost forget God. And thankfully come back to it sooner than I used to, I guess, to this like peace and reminder to that things have when I, so what it means is turn to service, like turn to talking to another alcoholic or helping another alcoholic or doing something useful for a family member, you know, like be in action, is really, it's all it, I guess it's just like time and again, just going back to the basics of what we learn here. So now I'm really done. Thank you.